we have a terrible 2 to 3 weeks ahead of us.
He's talking about the fear today's U.S. holiday brings. This is Thursday, November 26th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, we take a closer look at the man Joe Biden wants to be his top diplomat. The Chinese president sends his congratulations to the U.S. president-elect. Thai protests target the king's wealth. Greenhouse gas emissions continue to reach record levels despite COVID-19 lockdowns. That and more on today's VOA Asia. Millions of Americans have resumed traveling this year to spend the Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends. This despite a warning from the Centers for Disease Control to stay home. VOA's Carol Pearson has the latest.
Thursday is Thanksgiving in the U.S., and millions of Americans are flocking to airports, train stations, and taking to the roads to spend time with loved ones, despite warnings from the Centers for Disease Control to stay home. People like Becca Yanez, who bought her airplane tickets.
We haven't had Thanksgiving as a family in 12 years, so yeah, with flights kind of being cheap. And I already had COVID, so I was like, perfect, I can go somewhere.
Experts say that doesn't guarantee immunity. Some have gotten it more than once. Students are returning home from college, either for the holiday or for longer. Will Mason's college canceled in-person classes.
But I guess I don't really have an option there.
Infectious disease experts are sympathetic. Dr. Catherine Lay is with Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
And I understand the desire during this time of year. We've had such a hard year, and it's time for the holidays, and we want to be around friends and family. But it's so important to stay at home.
Doctors like Lay are focused on the rising infection rate.
Every single day, it's a new record that's very discouraging.
It's hard to follow CDC guidelines to stay 1.8 meters apart at airports, highway rest stops, and at train stations. Lay recommends eating outdoors if possible, keeping the windows open at home if indoors, avoiding crowds at restaurants, not standing in line anywhere.
And the primary mode of transmission that we really need to focus on is the respiratory droplets. So hence this kind of shift in recommendations to you have to wear a mask, please wear a mask, everybody wear a mask, and keep social distance.
And more bad news. Millions of Americans will travel the weekend after Thanksgiving and risk getting the virus or spreading it on their way home or once they get there. Public health experts are alarmed. Here's Dr. Joe Gerald at the University of Arizona.
We have a terrible 2 to 3 weeks ahead of us. If we don't make changes to our behaviors and our policies, the 3 weeks after that will be even worse.
Experts expect COVID rates throughout the U.S. to explode just before Christmas and the New Year's holidays, in part because of the Thanksgiving celebrations. And that's something the rest of the world should watch carefully as these other holidays get closer. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
With coronavirus cases surging across the U.S., more people who have been planning to travel to be with family for the holiday have been getting tested for the virus. Lines are so long now that people wait for hours to be swabbed, as Mariama Diallo reports.
The U.S. has doubled its daily COVID-19 testing numbers since this summer, but it's not enough to keep up with demand as the virus has infected more than 12.4 million people and caused more than 250,000 deaths. At a walk-in clinic in Brooklyn, Yugon Antong says he waited for 4 hours to get tested.
Honestly, I just think that they could take a better approach about, especially during wintertime, about standing in line right now, because even standing in here, you could even like have a cold or get a cold just by standing outside.
Zach Katz, who also stood in line for hours, found a way to adapt to the long wait.
You got to talk to people in line. That's the key to making the line move fast.
For Lisa Carpolongo, months of virus restrictions have taken a toll, so she decided to fly home for the holidays to see family, but not before getting tested.
I think with the numbers rising and knowing that they want to see their families and the restrictions that their parents or themselves are putting on each other, has been a little challenging.
Another challenge, lab warnings of chronic shortages of testing supplies. Scott Becker heads the Association of Public Health Laboratories.
We continue to see supply challenges in the laboratory community writ large. There will be a longer turnaround time, so that means there may be some longer delays in returning the results simply because things may get backlogged. We're not seeing that at the moment.
But that could change, he says.
As those cases increase, demand increases, turnaround time may increase.
As new infections reach an all-time high, officials at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are urging Americans not to travel or spend the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday with people outside their household. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. China steps up virus testing on imported food packaging. Malaysia's government and the prime minister face make-or-break budget vote. Twin bombings rattle the safest Afghan province, killing 14. The former NATO commander expects the Biden administration to keep troops in Afghanistan. Pakistan reiterates it will not establish relations with Israel until there is a viable, independent, and contiguous Palestinian state acceptable to the Palestinians. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. President-elect Joe Biden has announced several of his top cabinet picks, naming his longtime close advisor and former Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken to his choice to be the next Secretary of State. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more on Blinken, who was known as a staunch supporter of international alliances, human rights, and refugees.
Iran made a fundamental choice.
Antony Blinken served as Deputy Secretary of State during the former Obama-Biden administration and has been advising President-elect Joe Biden since 2002. He graduated from high school in Paris, France, and is a strong supporter of NATO and other alliances and multilateral institutions. Blinken led the U.S. response to a global refugee crisis, and in 2016, he appeared on the American children's show Sesame Street to explain who refugees are and how we can all learn from each other.
These are people who've had to leave their homes because life in their countries was not safe for them. Grover, can you imagine how difficult it would be to have to leave your home?
No, I cannot. I would never want to leave Sesame Street.
Some analysts say Blinken's first priority will be to repair relationships and rejoin agreements President Donald Trump quit, like the Iran nuclear deal and others. Mark Simakovsky of the Atlantic Council.
I think his first and most major priority will be restoring the perception of the United States as a trusted ally and partner around the world. I think he's going to want to shore up relationships that were damaged. Essentially, you know, the mantra is we're back, you know, re-enter the United States into the Paris Climate Accords, you know, trying to find a way potentially to extend the New START agreement.
If confirmed by the Senate, Blinken would assume State Department leadership from Mike Pompeo, who has served as Secretary of State since April 2018. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Chinese President Xi Jinping congratulated President-elect Biden on Wednesday for winning the U.S. presidential election. She expressed hope for improved relations between the two countries, according to the official Xinhua news agency. U.S.-China relations have worsened significantly since Donald Trump won the presidential election 4 years ago, fueled by disputes involving trade, the coronavirus, and technology. Happening now in Asia, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi arrived in South Korea for talks on Wednesday amid talk of a trip to Seoul by Chinese President Xi Jinping. Wang arrived in Seoul after spending 2 days in Tokyo. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Thai police were to deploy thousands of officers Wednesday for a demonstration at the office that manages the royal fortune. But reporter Stephen Boitano in Bangkok told VOA's Steve Miller things changed.
Well, what was supposed to happen today is protesters were supposed to meet at Democracy Monument and then march to the Crown Property Bureau headquarters. And that's the seat of all the assets. What was supposed to happen today is protesters were supposed to meet at Democracy Monument and then march to the Crown Property Bureau headquarters. And that's the seat of all the assets of the monarchy are there. And there was supposed to be, huge roadblocks, lots of police protecting a huge area around that location. And late last night, the protesters changed their location. Now they're going to Siam Commercial Bank headquarters. And in a whole nother part of town.
Now, as I understand it, the protest today was supposed to be about the royal assets. Is that still going to be the case, even though the location has changed today?
Yeah, it is. It's about the royal assets. And they're going to Siam Commercial Bank headquarters because that is the monarchy does have significant portion of ownership in Siam Commercial Bank.
Now, over the last few months, there have been a series of protests, some focusing on the Constitution, some focusing on the monarchy. Can you kind of walk our audience through what the protests have been about these past few months?
There's been a number of things that have been initiated. They want the prime minister who took power years ago with a coup to step down. They want constitutional changes. And they want reform to the monarchy. They want financial transparency. They don't want an absolute monarchy, which things are kind of moving towards. They want, they want a system of checks and balances, and they want to see what's going on.
Stephen, one last question. As I understand it from various reports, 7 protest leaders are being summoned to the authorities and look to be charged with lèse majesté. Can you explain to our audience what that Thai law is and what the potential penalty is should they be convicted of the crime?
So currently there are seven protest leaders. They've been summoned to police headquarters. I think they have until the 30th of this month. And they've all been charged with lèse majesté. That was probably due to protests in September, September demonstrations. And the lèse majesté is anything they're saying or doing against the monarchy. And this is a very old law that hasn't been used in the past 2 years. This is the first time. It's kind of an escalation in the government's fight against the protests and the demonstrations. And this can hold up to 15 years in jail penalty.
Reporter Stephen Boitano in Bangkok speaking with VOA's Steve Miller.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Tokyo's governor said Wednesday the Japanese capital will urge shorter working hours for bars and restaurants and ask residents to stay indoors as much as possible to tame a spike in coronavirus cases. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The World Meteorological Organization reports greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere continue to reach record levels despite COVID-19 lockdowns. The WMO has just released its annual greenhouse gas bulletin on atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide and other major greenhouse gases. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
COVID-19 lockdown measures have reduced air pollution levels in major cities in India, China, and elsewhere. The World Meteorological Organization, however, says the measures have failed to curb the relentless rise in greenhouse gas emissions, trapping heat in the atmosphere and accelerating global warming. Increasing temperatures are causing more extreme weather events, ice melt, sea level rise, and ocean acidification. WMO Secretary General Petteri Tala says the COVID-19 pandemic is not a solution for climate change. While carbon dioxide emissions have fallen during lockdown, he tells VOA this will have little impact on global warming and climate change.
This year we have seen drops of emissions by 4 to 7% because of the COVID lockdowns, but that's not going to change the big picture, because the lifetime of carbon dioxide is so long.
Carbon dioxide remains in the atmosphere for centuries and in the ocean even longer. Oksana Tarasova, head of the WMO's Atmospheric and Environment Research Division, says the current rate of greenhouse gas emissions is dramatic.
And yes, we've seen such changes, but those changes happened when the whole climate changed from glacial to interglacial, and that changed happen within 100 to 200 years. We humans did it without anything, just with our emissions. We've done it within 4 years.
The 2016 Paris Climate Agreement aims to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels by 2050. Tala says it is unlikely this goal will be reached by then, but he says China, the European Union, Japan, and South Korea have made commitments to become carbon neutral by 2060. They are responsible for 50% of global emissions. UN officials say they expect the administration of U.S. President-elect Joe Biden to make similar commitments. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The government of the Solomon Islands has defended its plan to ban Facebook, insisting the move would preserve national unity. Ministers say the world's largest social media platform has been grossly abused, but critics insist the ban is an attempt to shut down criticism of the government's economic policies. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Facebook helps to connect the people of a tropical archipelago that stretches over more than 1,400 kilometres of the South Pacific. But the government believes the social media platform is being grossly abused. Officials in the capital, Honiara, are to discuss blocking Facebook with internet companies because of concerns about defamation and cyberbullying. Authorities want to regulate users' behaviour to protect the community from vile abusive language online. Until new laws can be passed, there'd be a temporary ban on Facebook. Minister of Communications Peter Chanel Agovaka told Radio New Zealand Pacific that tough regulations are needed.
Coming with the freedom of expression and freedom of the media is a lot of responsibility. You don't just go out and say things that out of the ordinary to your neighbors. It's about using it wisely, communicate, share information, and so on, and not to abuse people.
It's unclear, however, how a ban on Facebook would work. Critics say the move would breach the constitutional rights of Solomon Islanders and attempt to shut down dissent. Opposition politicians call the proposals pathetic, while Amnesty International says any such ban would be a brazen attack on human rights. Facebook has said it was contacting authorities to discuss the plans. Any ban would put the Pacific Island nation alongside just four other countries where the social media platform is outlawed: China, Iran, North Korea and Syria. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said Wednesday that her annual policy address sought to restore constitutional order in Hong Kong after the opposition demonstration led to violence and damages last year. The address came more than a month after it was postponed so that she could seek Beijing's support for various economic measures to revive the semi-autonomous Chinese territory's economy. Meanwhile, British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab said this week he was considering whether it was still appropriate for UK judges to sit on the Hong Kong Court of Final Appeal in light of Beijing's security crackdown. Flora Bradley Watson reports.
Britain may pull its judges out of Hong Kong's highest court, a move that could deal a blow to the city's legal reputation. The presence of foreign judges serving in Hong Kong is enshrined in its basic law, the mini-constitution that guarantees the city's freedoms under Chinese rule. UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab said on Monday that pulling the judges would be in response to recent actions by Beijing. The UK views a new law for Hong Kong imposed by China this summer as a breach of guarantees made before the city was handed back to Beijing in 1997. Promises of Hong Kong's freedoms and autonomy included keeping up common law from its time under British rule. The new national security law came after a year of sometimes violent protests. It allows for a crackdown on what the authorities broadly define as secession, sedition, and collusion with foreign powers. London has also objected to new rules for mainland China to disqualify elected legislators in Hong Kong. Raab wrote in a report on the city that, quote, "This has been and continues to be the most concerning period in Hong Kong's post-handover history." He said he was considering whether it was appropriate for judges to sit on the city's Court of Final Appeal. Raab's comments came just hours after Hong Kong's most prominent pro-democracy campaigner, Joshua Wong, and two fellow activists were remanded in custody after pleading guilty to charges of organising and inciting an unauthorised assembly. Hong Kong's government has hit back at Raab's remarks, calling them sweeping attacks and groundless accusations.
That was Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson. We continue on VOA Asia. It has taken over a decade and $700 million U.S. dollars, but the world's largest digital camera took its first shot recently. The camera, a joint project of two U.S. government agencies, is designed to record images of the universe for 10 years. Matt Dibble has more.
The biggest movie project of all time will soon launch on a remote mountaintop in Chile with a cast of billions. The subject? Nothing less than the entire visible universe.
We knew we needed an enormous camera, bigger than anybody had ever even conceived of building before.
Stephen Kahn is directing construction of a camera with a resolution of 3 billion pixels, about 300 times the size of a smartphone image, which will create a time-lapse record of the night sky over 10 years.
If you do this continuously for 10 years, then you'd have something like 1,000 images of every part of the sky. By comparing the images, you would see everything that changes in the sky, and you would see everything that moves in the sky.
The unprecedented data collected by the camera, funded by the U.S. government, will help probe two great scientific mysteries, dark matter and dark energy. The researchers chose something more mundane for the camera's first test, a Romanesco broccoli.
It had a lot of structure on different scales. As you zoomed in, you would see more things.
Displaying the broccoli image at full size would require 378 ultra-high definition TV screens. Scientists around the Earth will be analyzing the camera's data, along with citizen scientists. Khan says there are enough galaxies for each classroom on Earth to adopt one, giving students the potential to discover a supernova.
The school kids could be the first humans to actually see that brightening star.
The camera is expected to begin collecting images in 2023. For VOA News, Matt Dibble.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.